WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to episode 587 of BRB UK. Apologies for none of us being here last week, but Coleman was shipped off to a super secret location. We had to send a crack squad of chili sauce fueled Portsmouthians go and find him, and it's taken a week to find him. He's come back, chili sauce in hand. It's his birthday. Say happy birthday, Coleman.
Hi, I'm actually still in Seattle, as you can see of the video feed. I'm here at WrestleMania, Seattle Seahawks Stadium.
It's not coming to Wales, WrestleMania.
No, not yet.
Ah, very upsetting.
I was going to go see it. I was going to go have a viewing party in Wales this year, but that kind of fell through. I was a bit burnt out, and I kind of double booked on a little mini break, and I'd completely forgotten about it, and I wouldn't have been able to edit because I'd have been away, and then I was away in Norfolk, and then as soon as I get back from Norfolk, I went straight off to Portsmouth to go watch wrestling with my mates. So.
I think we can speak for all of us that having a week off because you're feeling a bit shattered is completely the right thing to do.
Yes.
So, good.
Right. So you two will be on your own next week.
Excellent.
And Tim will be editing.
Excellent.
That's bad for
us. I look forward to episode 588 coming out at some point in 2027. It'll be glorious. There's also Tim here. It's not his birthday, but we'll say hello to him anyway. Hello, Tim.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Yeah.
Good. You sound moderately convinced, which is always nice.
Yeah.
He sounds slightly confused.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah, well.
You know, like when you find an old person in their pajamas in a store and you see if they're all right, and they're assuring you they're fine, but they've got that dead look in their eyes that says, I've escaped somewhere.
Right.
How often do you find old people in their pajamas in stores, Coleman? Is this a Portsmouth Bay thing that the rest of us don't get to enjoy?
No, this is our local thing.
All right, okay.
That budgins, mate. Whoa, freak show.
It always has a habit of it's like the number 27 bus. No, the number 29 bus. In London.
Oh, nice. We're getting specific.
Yeah, we're getting very specific. The N29 always used to bring out a very special brand of person, I always found. The N29 was entertainment in and of itself. Anyway.
How is my brother?
He's all right, actually. Still
good.
Still enjoying the scratch and sniff roulette that is the seats on said night bus. But he's doing all right.
Talking about dead-eyed lost people. My family! Da-da-da-da-da-da.
But yeah,
right.
Many happy returns to Coleman, though, for his birthday.
Congratulations.
Wish you a very happy birthday.
Welcome to your fifth decade.
Excellent. Shall we talk about some video games?
Let's!
Possibly.
I haven't played any. Well, I have played some, but not new ones.
Tim's played demos, so if you permit me to go first, because I've played an actual full game.
Oh.
Excellent! And it's one that I was excited for without realizing I was excited for it, because I think they announced this on a Nintendo Direct Indie World Stream thing a while ago.
Uh-huh.
But from Devolver Digital comes Pepper Grinder.
I have
come
a question.
To the Can I not even do the intro?
Is it going to be a grinder-based joke?
Yes, it is.
Right,
Is this a dating app for cartoon animals? Is it?
I think you may
Peppa
have
Pig
misunderstood
grinder,
what... Yeah, I think Tim's close. I think you may have misunderstood what grinder is.
Nope. Has it given MP's phone numbers to anyone else in the recent future?
Now you know what it is.
Giving out all the pigs' phone numbers.
Anyway, the closer I've come to this game coming out, there have been previews and stuff, and it's been very interesting and a lot of fun, so I decided to pick this up. And for a reasonable price as well, if you pick this up on the PC, it's $12.79, PC, Mac, and Linux. And if you get this on the Nintendo Switch, it's £13.49. So you still get the Switch stacks, but it's a pretty reasonable price for this game. This game is it's sort of a puzzle platformer, but it's in a similar vein, though not as hard as a Super Meat Boy, where it's a lot of trial and error to try and get through the game.
A very different thing on Grindr, I have to say, Super Meat Boy. You don't want to respond to his DMs.
You don't want to see the boss mode in that game.
No, you don't.
So anyway, the idea of this is you're playing as a young girl with a giant drill, a boring drill, which is
how boring?
Is referred to as not that kind of boring, Tim. Not like
okay.
you.
It's all right, okay.
Referred to as the grinder. So I'm assuming the girl is called Pepper, and that's probably where the title of the game comes from.
Aha.
You start the game off. There are monsters. You're stranded on a beach, kind of like a Zelda type game. And then you pick up this drill that is next to you and you're off to the races. You're fighting monsters. You're drilling through the ground and going up against big bads along the way. This game is insanely equal parts frustrating and fun. So it's got that kind of one more go mentality, which is not great when you mainly play these types of games on commutes and you can't do the one more go because that means you've missed your bus stop or train stop, as I've done before in the past. The main kind of play of this game is you hold a trigger down to power up the drill and then use the thumbstick to dig underground. And using that digging motion, it's very kind of reminiscent of, say, like Echo the Dolphin, where you've got that speed movement underground, and then as you fly to the surface, you can tap a button in a specific timing, and then you go flying even further. Use that to collect collectibles that are underground, but also you can dash against your enemies and surprise them from air attacks or ground attacks, or you can just attack them with the drill itself.
Surprise ground attack.
But yes, it's crazy addictive, this game. as well, the drill comes, that has other uses as well. You'll find like elevators that have a special mechanism to work, which you have to stick the drill in and charge it up to make that thing move. And yeah, that's pretty much most of the game. It's going to be drilling, jumping, attacking, and then going up against a big bad boss and trying to figure out just how you're meant to beat this thing in a different way than you're beating all your other enemies. So for instance, first off, you come up against one of the enemies that's riding a giant beetle, and you seemingly can't attack the enemy and you can't attack the beetle, and then it will start climbing up the walls at random points, and that's when you're meant to do your drilling into the cavern of the arena that you're in, and then you sort of dive out at this beetle, and if you get your timing right, then you can attack the beetle, knock it down, then you can attack the thing riding the beetle. It took me not long to figure it wasn't figuring out how to attack the beetle, it was figuring out the timing of attacking the beetle. Wow. And then each time you do it, the beetle gets mad and starts firing off more and more powerful projectiles at you.
They don't do that.
Yes, and
especially
there are lots of creative bosses along the way, and they are all that kind of infuriatingly hard to try and get past. This is a great little game. It's priced really well. And I also like, there's kind of an element of, there's stores that are available on the maps, so you're gathering treasure along the way, and those stores can be used to just buy like little cosmetics for your character, change your hair color and clothing, that sort of thing. But also you can give yourself power-ups and key items along the way. But then the really handy thing is, so you have a life bar, which I think is 4 bars, but you can use more and more power-ups to increase that bar level, but it will only be until that bar is then depleted, then you're stuck back at 4. So you have to keep going back to the shop to refill it. But when it comes to like boss battles and things, that is a lifesaver when that happens. So yeah, you can make the game a little bit easier if you want to. And I definitely had to.
I have a genuine question this time, rather
than okay.
Nonsense. I know, right? No one is more surprised than I.
I don't know if I believe you.
I would like to know how this kind of builds in the drilling mechanic. Because there's, I mean, those of you listening to the audio can't see the video that we've got going on at the moment. But it kind of looks like, is it a kind of a traversal tool, or is it something that's your primary attack, or is it a combination of the two?
It's everything. It's the
everything.
Thing, because you could do your normal bog standard platforming jump,
yeah,
you know, jump platform to platform, but then there's going to be different terrains that you're able to drill through, and then when you do that, that's a lot faster, and you're going to have to in some cases use the terrain maneuvering to travel around, because there's obstacles in the way and that's the only way through it. But yeah, it's also your form of attack, be that just walking up to an enemy and hitting them with your drill, or coming out of the ground to attack them.
And can you use it like defensively to like hide from attacks, stuff like that? Or
yes, that has come in handy. Except for the bosses. The bosses seem to, when they have projectiles, they tend to go through the ground and through anything that you'd hide behind, which is quite annoying. But in most cases, yeah, you can use it strategically as well. If you take a look at the footage, either on this video or check out the trailer, we recommend this video because, you know, we're on it and we like views. If you check out the video, you can kind of see what I mean by that Super Meat Boy like mentality, where it's not as hard as Super Meat Boy, but it's got that feeling of there's a difficulty spike there, definitely. And it's that kind of, when you die, it's straight back into the game and keep going, and it's very easy to keep on going with that game. But yes, definitely recommend
for challenging.
Me. It's very challenging.
I did that's why I like demo it. For this, but I didn't get to playing it just because of Balatro at the time, I think, basically, and then just right. having my hands full generally. But yeah, I believe there's a demo out, so people can try it out for themselves if they want to have a look.
Nice.
Would you say it's a good fit for the Switch or good fit for, I guess, where are you playing it?
I'm playing it on Steam Deck. I haven't tried it on desktop yet or on the TV, so Steam Deck is my main one for this. So I'd assume that translate very well to the Switch, you know, what with it being just another screen.
Yeah.
Joy-Cons, I'm not sure. I don't get much accuracy from Joy-Con thumbsticks, so. No joy from Joy-Cons. They are terrible controllers.
A big bomb. Anyway. Got that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I recommend Pepper Grinder. It's out now. Go get it. I bought this copy myself. That's my recommendation.
Oh, you're the best, Cole, man.
That is good.
I am genuinely interested though about Stellar Blade, Tim, because my finger has been hovering over by a lot. I want to, before Dan goes, rah, 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 boobs and butts, I want to say, I don't really care if it's like sexually crazy or whatever. I just want to know if it's
sexually
a fun game
crazy.
Jesus.
Because I've heard different things. I've heard some people
Coleman's
say, hey,
been
if
putting
you
the spicy hot sauce in places. What he's been doing.
I've heard people recommend this game because it is a sexy game. I've heard people recommend it because of the gameplay. And then I've heard people that go, oh, there's too much sort of front-loaded into the sexiness of this game, and it's actually quite rubbish and boring and repetitive.
Probably realise, I would say, but...
All right, Tim, I'll let you say your point, but can I just say up front, it depresses me that poor a game phrasing. Is like, oh, duh, look at the ladies with their wobbly fun bits, isn't it? Oh, look at that. You know, it does slightly depress me that we're in 2024, and that is being positioned as a big kind of selling point for this game.
Yes. That's before all you I'm back yourself say. Into too much of a corner with this, Dan, there has been a lot of hoo-ha online this week because I believe it was IGN France put out something, and it was something, I can't remember the exact comment, but it was something along the lines of,
Sacre bleu.
This was made by someone that had never seen a real woman before. Something along those sorts of lines. I'm not sure if that's an
I'm not going to get into insulting the developers. I just think it is depressing that there is a, if not over, well, it's probably moderately over, but certainly, you know, sexualization of women in this. And,
yes,
you know,
and overt sexualization. And it depends whether that puts you off or not. But just to go in a little bit more into the scandal before we get into the game, the back and forth has generally been, and in response to that, slightly lazy criticism is the fact that the artist, and I don't know if this is particularly incidental, but the artist apparently has a particularly attractive girlfriend, and the reference model that they scanned for this game is a real person, basically. So those two things have come up. I'm not sure that makes things any better. The one thing I would say is that we kind of laughed this off when we looked at it before.
I think he's low-key showing off.
We kind of laughed it off as a poor man's Bayonetta. And I will say, having played
you say we,
the game,
I wasn't here.
And I kind of went into it with slightly lower expectations, but wanting to give the demo a try and wanting to see what it's like. And overall, I would say I came away going, okay, it's not a poor man's Bayonetta. It's just another man's Bayonetta. And I would say that it's, like Bayonetta attracted some equal criticisms for its slight sexistness or sexistness. Is that a word? I'm not sure. Anyway,
sexiness.
The sexist nature of the character model and what was going on with it. The one thing I'll say with that is it's basically, there's no witchcraft involved with this. There's no hair suits, but it's a similar kind of body type and it's a similar kind of sexualization of the main character. The one thing I would say is overall from the initial impression the demo gives, and the demo is reasonably long, like it's got the tutorial section and then a bit more as well, and overall probably a couple of hours of gameplay. And yeah, generally I would say that the impression I get is Eve, which is the name of the main character, comes across as not as strong-willed or as quite as interesting as Bayonetta is, and not as strong a character. She seems a little bit wimpish, not in her physical attributes or in the way that she goes about combat, but in her you know, character and characterization. I would say it's fairly equal to Bayonetta. There's a lot of things that are fairly equal to Bayonetta in this game, and the sexualization of the character, if that put you off in Bayonetta, that's going to be equal in this. If it didn't, it won't in this, possibly. Other than as I said, the character not being quite as coming across quite as strong-willed as Bayonetta is. But as I alluded to, the gameplay is really good. Like, it's more of a kind of futuristic cybernetic setting. It's not cyberpunk because it doesn't really have a kind of gritty element to it, but it is, there's a kind of cyber suit element to what's going on with her and the kind of MacGuffins and stuff of why there's no real like explanation of why there's witch time as far as I'm seeing, but there's kind of like you know, batteries and overdrive type things and those sorts of explanations rather than kind of witch time type things. And so far, at least, I haven't unlocked any long range combat, but there seems to be that something that will open up as you get further into the game. But at least initially at the start, it's all melee based combat. Hence, and I guess it's going to center around that more generally, hence the fact that it's called Stellar Blade, not Stellar Guns or whatever. But,
Or Stellar Artois.
And as I said, like the opening of the demo, it seems to be the opening of the game from what I can make out. But I'm not sure. At first, I thought it kind of skipped a bit because you have this introduction in the beach where you land with your whole squad. And then most of your squad gets wiped out before you even get down to this beach. But then there's one other member of your squad that kind of rescues you. And then along the way, she kind of sacrifices herself to save you when you come up against this big bad enemy type thing. And I can't remember what they call the actual enemies in the game. It's got a slightly weird name that didn't really stick in my brain. But yeah, overall, combat's pretty good. It feels meaty and effective. And then after you actually finish meaty and effective. After you actually finish the demo, which gives you, as I said, the kind of tutorial kind of bit on the beach, and then it kind of opens up and there's kind of a flashback of what happened between the two sections. And so that's why at first I thought it skipped a bit, but I don't think they actually did because they start doing these flashbacks of story of what happened in between. But you've got this kind of operative that's kind of guiding you through this cityscape and you do that sort of stuff. But when you finish that level, which finishes with a boss fight on top of a car park, when you finish that level, it actually gives
like
you
your weekend away in Portsmouth, mate.
Yes, it actually gives you another kind of what I think it referred to as a boss mode or something like that. But it's another boss fight that is deeper into the game where you've got a lot more moves and other things unlocked, a lot more of the skill trees unlocked, basically. So you can have a go at a later in the game boss fight because it's all kind of, you know, the upfront portion of the game where you don't have too much unlocked before that. But it does give a good job of giving a good taste of the game. I went into the game going, I hope I don't like this too much, and came away like looking at pre-orders. So I think that kind of sums up.
You dirty old man.
Yeah. But then also, I noticed for the price of the game, because it is a £70 game, at the moment I could pick up Bayonetta 3, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which I've been after for a while, which is on sale at the moment, and still have enough money left for like a couple of VR games, and I'm not so sure which one of those paths I'm going to take at the moment. I did enjoy my time with Stellar Blade, and if you like Bayonetta-style games, and I don't know who makes this, but it's very much in the Platinum Games style of game, I think. Was this a Korean developer, I think? I think I heard that somewhere. But it feels very much like a Platinum Games
Shift
game.
Up.
Right, yeah, Shift Up. It feels like a Platinum Games game that hasn't been made by Platinum Games. So if you like Metal Gear Revengeance, if you like Bayonetta, if you like Platinum Games style of games, this is definitely going to appeal to you, and I recommend trying the demo to see if you like it. But at the moment, I'm not sure I will definitely justify the £70. If I can find it for cheaper than that pre-launch, I might pick it up. Otherwise, I might wait for it to go down in price a little bit, because I like the game and I liked what I played, but I'm not desperate to get to it immediately, basically. And I've got my hands filled with Rise of the Ronin still, which I'm still enjoying. Fair enough.
Sorry to do this, because I hate when you guys do this to me, but Tim,
yeah.
What was the name of that Metal Gear Solid spin-off?
Revengeance.
Revengeance. You're putting an extra... Revengeance.
Revengeance.
So all words are made up.
Revengeance.
I was repeating what we'd said previously on the show, but you know, hey.
Revengeance.
Revengeance.
But yeah,
how quick can you do your other demo?
Very quick. I played a little bit of Outcast New Beginning. It's got three different kind of bits that you can play. You can mess around in the open world. There was one other thing, and then you can do the story mode. The story mode does the thing which I hate demos doing, though. And as I said, there are two other things, so you can play a bit more time with it. But it's, here's story mode. You can only play for 20 minutes. Go. And it's like, oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. So I hate that in demos. That did not appeal to me. It seems like a bit of a budget AA game, which I'm not averse to. Like, you can have enjoyment there. I have heard from other people that it's decent and fun when you get into it, but I've only seen it, and when I looked up the price, it was like $59.99. I'm like, that's not a budget game. Like, that's not a budget price. So
I'm struggling to remember. Is this essentially a redo of...
Yes.
I've got vague memories of a game called Outcast from like the late 90s.
Yes.
1999.
That's pretty late 90s. That's as late 90s as you can get.
It was a PC game.
I was about to say, I don't think I played the original, so I didn't have any natural affinity towards that. The one thing I would say, though, is it's got like a cool little jetpack mechanic, and having seen the footage here and having seen it a little bit elsewhere that attracted me into it, you don't get to do the full flight thing that it does that looks quite good fun and looks like that might be... Well, and that's why I really can't understand why they gave you a timed 20-minute demo that didn't really tutorialize things very well, and also doesn't seem to have a lot of things unlocked. So it was a really weird decision to give you a 20-minute taster from the start of the game, because it actually put me off the game. Not wholly, because there was fun parts of the demo, but I just I don't think it put its best foot forward in making its case to me for why I would be enjoying this game if I bought it, basically.
So kind of my memory of this game is that one of the back in the day, in the late 90s.
Back in the day, chicken tastes like chicken.
That one of the big kind of selling points of this was, hey, look, it's an expansive open world game. And frankly, a lot of stuff is now an expansive open world game. So does this appear to do anything that kind of, you know, is of note, or is it just a fairly generic, oh, it's a bit like many other open world games that I enjoy and...
As I said, I think the jetpack mechanic is its main selling point. Okay. I can tell you one thing that isn't, is its voice acting. Like, it does seem to be going for comedy, and that may just not land very well in the 20-minute slice that it gave me, especially when I was trying to race through the conversations I was having because, you know, they weren't particularly high quality and I had a limited time period to enjoy them. And so, as I said, it just didn't do a good job of putting its case forward for why I should be picking up this game. And as I said, the demo kind of put me off more than, well, the demo in conjunction with the price put me off it, but okay. There were some redeeming features. Combat seemed okay. You're generally kind of shooting at enemies and, yeah, jetpacking around. Although I didn't get to grips with it, there was a way to hover. And, yeah, that felt fun when it worked, but I couldn't actually work out consistently how to do that. There was these other levels, and the thing that I timed out at was, like, there was a kind of assault course where you're jetpacking around a temple through different checkpoints, and that didn't seem like a particularly fun encounter. The most fun I had was actually just stumbling across a little base that was on the way to the mission I was doing and having some combat encounter with that. That was probably the most fun I had in the game, basically. As I said, it was okay, but nothing that I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I definitely need to purchase it now, basically.
I'm not going to lie, not enthused about this after your summary of the demo, I have to say.
Well, yeah, but that's exactly the impression that I came away from. So, yeah.
Not saying it's your fault, but yeah, can wow, this sounds a whole bunch of eh.
Yeah.
Can I just give you a quick rundown of Outcast releases to see if this jogs your memory at all, Dan?
Okay, all right. Okay, hit me with it.
Okay, so as mentioned, 1999, you had Outcast, which was released by Infogrames. Do you remember them with the armadillo?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I remember them.
Good. Anyway, that game had a sequel called Outcast 2, The Lost Paradise. It was never finished. Right. Because the studio were bankrupt.
Oh. Right, okay. Mm.
When did Andre 3000 get involved?
He's getting there. The hit Hey Ya came out. And,
good.
Ladies were shaking it like a Polaroid picture, indeed.
Were they? Good.
But then in 2014, thanks to GOG, there was a remastered version of the original game called Outcast 1.1.
Right.
Now...
Right.
In the last gen, there was a remake of the original called Outcast Second Contact.
Right.
And now this is a sequel to the remake, though not a remake of the sequel.
Called A New Beginning.
All of that is making me even less inclined than I already was to give a crap about this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It looks very dated. It looks like a remaster in itself of like a not to be rude, but like a Dreamcast game or something, but not because
there's
it looks
nothing wrong in being a Dreamcast game.
I know, but I'm not. Oh no, I love some Dreamcast games, but I mean in that kind of. Do you remember when they made the sequel to Shenmue on PS4?
Shenmue. Sequel to what? Thank you,
Shenmue.
And wow.
See how come that's okay, but my Revengeance reference is something you need to pull me up on, eh?
Because that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it you who kept saying Shenmue? Well. Oh, right. Well, give it time.
Well, it's us.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but give it time and Revengeance will be the new Shenmue or Chocobo or Ocarina or whatever it is you say like a crazy person while you're walking around Bunwins. Budgins, sorry. Anyway.
What's Bodwins?
That's a guy I know. I got the name wrong.
Does he wander about in a dressing gown and limited other on
very glassy stare.
Wow, okay, good, right.
Technically a superior, so I shouldn't.
But yeah, just wanted to underline, because we got into it a little bit and then got away from it a bit, but Outcast A New Beginning, it was fine. It was relatively harmless. It had some redeeming features, but nothing that would make me part £60 with it. If it was £30, I might be a bit kinder on it and be a bit more willing to give it some time and attention.
But it isn't, so you won't be.
Exactly.
The funny thing, looking at the gameplay, this looks like something that would appeal to me in that kind of first 3-year launch window of Nintendo Switch, where I was playing everything on the Switch because I was traveling a lot. And this would be a game that would make me go, wow, this looks impressive on the Switch. It's not on the Switch.
Okay. Is it how does it do with the massive geek, I wonder?
I will have to have a look. Maybe I'll go test that.
Yeah.
There's a demo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll try the demo on the dick.
On the demo.
But yeah, that's PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X and S sometime this year. Do we have the release date? We don't know. Oh, it's out now.
I think it's out now, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But out now.
We didn't mention...
$59.99.
Yeah, we didn't mention that Stellar Blade is out later this month in a couple of weeks' time on the 26th of the 4th. But if you pre-order it, I believe you get access to it on the 19th.
So either I will be playing or I won't be playing that game.
Yes. Also,
wow. Still undecided.
That's just, well done.
Yeah, you. I was going to say, just to mention, I as I did allude to before, that Rise of the Ronin I've been playing and really enjoying. It did get to a point where it did do that slight open world bloat thing of, oh my God, there's too many icons going on and everything's going on a bit too much. But I'm kind of over leveled for where I am doing the main quests, and so I'm just concentrating on the main quests, and I've really been enjoying that now that I've been honing in on doing that a bit more. Still really enjoy that game.
Ronin,
that's still a recommend
in,
for
I
me.
Think you'll find.
Rising of the Ronin. Avenging
getting somewhere.
Shenmue.
Yeah, boy.
Get on with it.
Hey, do I get to talk about Destiny yet?
No.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about the news. And Dan, what are you going to talk about?
Destiny 2.
Destiny. This is Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Not if that dropped for a while.
Yeah. So very quickly, the delayed final episode in this bit of the Light and Dark Saga is how they're mysteriously being it. Apparently, right. There is more to come from Destiny.
Which I shape struggle. Will this this one be about?
Dodecahedron is the final shape. It is the daddy O of all geometric shapes. I think.
Wow, that sounds like the final shape.
It is the final shape.
Good.
It is the glad finalist. The finalist of shapes. So they did a big
reveal. Catching these low balls I'm throwing your way down.
I certainly am. It's all good. Just watch out. My knees are a bit dodgy at this age. So I might stoop down for one and be unable to get up.
That's very unkind to call Dan softballs. That's, you know, just a factor of age.
It's fine. Low hanging softballs, I think, would be more accurate. Ooh, but there we go.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
That's gravity for you. That's 44 years of gravity.
Get on with it.
Yes. So, the big reveal was, hey, look, you know, we've all been waiting for this. And to Bungie's credit, they actually seem to have finally gone, do you know what? I think we've got this, boys. We think we finally understand that people just want to be overpowered space wizards, and that's okay. So there was the big thing was a kind of a new subclass called Prismatic, which basically allows you, presumably in a slightly guided way, to mix and match stuff from all the other subclasses. So you can potentially make some really overpowered builds. There's like new class items which allow you to steal or borrow kind of aspects of exotic armor from all classes. So there's a potential there for some fun to be had with build crafting. Whether or not Bungie allow everyone to continue paddling in the fun end of the pool before they start nerfing it to oblivion remains to be seen. So that remains, I think they're still targeting summer for that coming up. But the big thing that they've released now is something called Into the Light. So kind of building up to that, where it's they finally added a horde mode to Destiny, which appears to be quite a lot of fun. I've only sunk about an hour or so into it with released on Tuesday.
They had the Hive. Like, that's your potential for your horde mode.
Yes. I mean,
it's taken them this long.
Yeah, the Hive are involved, but many other races are too. It's an equal opportunity horde mode. And essentially it is defend the thing against the evil people. There's waves of escalating difficulty, occasional boss stuff thrown in. They've brought back a load of old fan favorite weapons as well. It feels like a nice bit of fun to keep you all entertained until the actual proper expansion shows up. People are getting very excited, saying, oh, the fact that they said this isn't it yet for Destiny makes us think there's Destiny 3 and that they're going to can Marathon. I kind of think this is a bit like... And there was a YouTuber, Astacross, who put it this way, and I think there's some merit to this. Bit morbid. I'll warn you now, but it's essentially like, you know that love granddad that you had when clearly he was in the twilight of his years, where all of a sudden
walking around budgins,
you're walking around budgins in his pants. All he wanted to do was, like, you know, just make sure you're having fun together, having some quality time. Wanted to take you fishing, go and do stuff together. It kind of feels a bit like that. It's like, hey guys, we're gonna have some fun one last time. Then it's gonna be like, all right, I'm done. See you later. I think is how it's gonna end up.
I've seen kind of taking a temperature test online, because I know that yourself included, a lot of people that are massively into Destiny. And then there's people like myself that really got into Destiny and then became very lapsed players. But those people that have been swayed back into going, well, it's the end of my 10-year story. I need to finish the fight. And everyone together, it's my end game. It's my WrestleMania XL main event. You know, I added that last one.
Yeah. Okay. I know, but you're keeping it relevant for yourself. That's the main thing.
I thought so.
And yes, I mean, look, I'll be honest. It's actually, even I had given Destiny a rest for a month before.
Wow.
So, Dan.
Yeah, I know, right? So there's a canary, a big old hairy canary in the coal mine for you. But
I genuinely need to know. What,
a hairy canary.
What does a man who always is playing Destiny play when he's
not
playing
a
Destiny
canary,
for a month?
Dan.
What?
Do you just take
canary.
A break from games, or do you go on a backlog, or what happens?
Well, I mean, there was a moment of existential dread where I was not picking up engrams every minute. It was quite nice to just enjoy some. Like, I mean, Pacific Drive, I put some time into. It sounds like I replaced it with the substitute drug by saying, oh, I dipped back into Diablo 4. Whoops. just some nice.
Heard the new season's very good.
Yeah, some nice open-ended long-form games without kind of that fear of FOMO that Destiny gives you. So it was quite nice to play some actual games, actually.
I love the idea that you just turn off the console and go, right, I guess I'm going to go interact the real world for a bit. And then you come out the room
tried that.
And your wife goes, intruder!
Yeah, but anyway, I
call Destiny, the cops.
Yeah, Destiny is limping to an end. We'll see what happens. But the good news is there looks like there's some interesting stuff. I mean, look, if they stick the landing on the final shape, it looks like it could be a heck of a lot of fun. It looks like if they actually embrace letting people do overpowered, silly stuff with their guardians, it could be a real good time. I just kind of know they have a tendency to get the fun police out at given half a moment. So
it looks like, I mean, from what I've been hearing about, this isn't like the end of Destiny 2. It's the end of the seasons. They're going more for the smaller updates rather than seasons going forward, rather than the big story kind of updates.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're still
you
still on
get
your money.
Things added and yeah, why not? We love those microtransactions for cosmetics. Yeah, all that stuff. But I don't think you're going to see a Destiny 3 because of the partnership with Sony. Not just yet, anyway. They want to try this marathon thing, but we'll see how that goes. But if they start a Destiny 3, then Sony are going to have to be very involved. And I think after getting out from under the boot of Activision, they might not be willing to do that straight away.
Well,
there will be a Destiny 3 at some point, I would have thought. No, Dan?
I know, but I mean, not right away. Not like what Dan said, where people online are speculating that this could be just scrap marathon and go straight into Destiny 3. All the team shooters are not doing well, the live service-y team shooter things.
Yeah.
All the massive games that are doing well, like Fortnite and Apex and...
A lot of people want to make those kind of games and they fail.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we've already got Fortnite and Apex dominating things.
Yes.
So, you know.
But I can't wait for a Chinese Marvel Overwatch, Tim. I don't know about you.
I think that looks decent and it's got the Punisher in, so you know.
Yeah, and you're a massive fan of Overwatch, as everyone knows.
Yeah,
and China.
Love it.
Love.
Wow. He loves those cheap stats. China. He can't get enough of them. First class.
So you're still looking forward to
Destiny? Yes, please. Sign me up. What?
So it's safe to say that you're still looking forward to Destiny 2 final shape, Dan.
I am. Destiny 2 Dodecahedron. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Did we mention the new enemy type?
Oh, no, we didn't. There is a new enemy type. There we go.
And
The one thing now, I didn't get, is Tim, that out that, now, or is that part of the final shape that's upcoming?
No, that's part of the final shape. The new enemy shape is like a kind of an evolution of some of the new enemies that were kind of introduced as a bit of a one-off in Lightfall, but kind of very much hark back to that the kind of darkness aesthetic that we first saw in the raid that involved Rook. So that was back from, I want to say, God, what expansion?
Am I having a stroke? What's happening?
Yeah. So anyway, there's new enemies. There we go. Oh, man,
I was just impressed because there's new enemies and the developers are touting that these aren't like reskins of other enemies. They're brand new enemies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
first
my
time
God.
In like 3 years.
That was my big complaint when they went, oh, here's new enemies. Like, they're just all the other enemies skinned and stuck in this new enemy.
That was the take. Like, oh, look,
Taken,
look,
that was it.
It's them with some slightly new animations.
I hate the Taken.
Spooky textures. They just are
nothing. Liam Neeson, not your thing, no?
Very specific.
Not these days.
Anyway. Shall we talk about the rest of the news? I think we probably should.
Yes, probably limit on the news a little bit. And let's go for the shorter ones just because it's fun to do. But yes, Star Wars Outlaws. This is, I think, Tim, you picked this as your game of the ones to watch, I think.
Yep.
I need to make a list. I forgot to add that to the agenda.
Oh.
But yes, we got a big old story trailer for Star Wars Outlaws, which is coming from Ubisoft. It's such a good trailer that I'm going to leave it running here in the background
looks
of our video.
Great.
It looks so very good. And once again, much like with the after playing the last Star Wars Jedi Survivor Order Fallen thing, I always forget what the sequel's called. Even though I've completed it, I forget the name of it. After playing that, I am curiously optimistic of the game, but I'm not expecting amazing things on the PlayStation 5.
I don't understand that was your takeaway. Like, it's not all Star Wars games are going to release in a broken state. This is made by a completely different studio. Just because it's a Star Wars game doesn't mean it's not going to work properly.
I don't think Coleman's saying that. I think it's the visual fidelity that they're pushing. I'm just correcting Tim just so you can agree with me.
I think it's Coleman's birthday, you can let him say what he's saying.
He's become old and infirm. Shut your dirty mouth. Fine, say what you want to say. You say your own words. Damn it.
I can't believe that works.
Say your own words. I think you were going to say.
It's because, the look, the detail, the look very similar to the previous Star Wars game, even though it was by a new, different studio, by a different publisher, being EA and I forget the Rebel. Those guys. Anyway.
The guys are made
it's
time.
It's partly that. It's, those
Respawn.
Guys. It's that and it's Respawn. Thank you. I don't know where we got Rebel from. It's that and also after the launch issues I had with Final Fantasy, which I've brought up on a fair few shows now. When you go, and you know, that was weirder because the exclusive is PlayStation 5 for now. When you go, this console can't play this game at its full potential. Why is it an exclusive for that console? This one, it will be on multi-platform, but after the last Star Wars game, I had all the problems with the motion blurring and the frame rates and all that kind of stuff making me travel sick. But they put out trailers like this that looked absolutely amazing, and I went, I can't wait to play this game.
Right.
I've pre-ordered this game, and I'll say that now because I've pre-ordered this game because there was a big discount and there's a credit back. Go on thegamecollection.com. They've got a really good deal going on if you pre-order the game now.
Okay.
But I have experience of cancelling games through them as well, so I know it's a fairly simple process to do. I pre-ordered this game to get the deal. When the Digital Foundry and the reviews and all that stuff come out, if they go, hey, this is great on the PlayStation 5, I'll go, brilliant. I will keep my pre-order. If they go, this is Bobbins, I will cancel that pre-order and pick this up on a PC most likely going forward. But I am worried because of the level of fidelity of this game. However, it looks amazing.
Yes, it does look fantastic. I've got some good news for you on that front, Coleman. I only saw there's a report that came out this week that said And it talks about tennis players as well, but it talks about like gamers and kind of like your ability to see frames, basically. And they tested a load of people with like a light source, and whether it was a constant light source or whether it was blinking for different people kind of alluded to like how many frames they can see per second type thing. And some people's eyes apparently just see more frames, which I don't know why everyone was going a bit mad for that study, but apparently like that's a thing that people didn't necessarily know before. And I swear, like, we've known that for a while type of thing, but it may be as you're getting older, as you're now over the hill, that, you know, your brain will slow down a bit and you'll be able to see less frames. And so that'll become less of a problem for you. So that might be good.
I don't think it's that. Sorry
not
to
sure it works,
diverge away from, yeah, sorry to get away from the topic of Star Wars Outlaws, but I think it's in some cases, I think you can just see something and adapt to it, and then you can't go back to the old thing. And that's certainly what's happened to me. And this happened with Blu-ray, you know. The first time I saw high definition Blu-ray, I think it was a Simpsons movie. I was walking the store and I saw it displaying on this TV, OLED, which was an experimental new thing at the time, looked amazing. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And then as I left the store, I got a really bad migraine and threw up. So
perhaps you just don't like change.
Sensory overload.
Yeah, maybe you're allergic to The Simpsons.
No, no, definitely not.
Whoa, I mean, I do think your point, though, that you know, this looked very visually impressive to get it at silky smooth 60 frames per second goodness. You're either going to need to play it on a PC or keep your fingers crossed that the pro versions of your PS5s and your Xbox Series,
the alleged £900 console,
that they're gonna have the oomph required to drive that kind of frame rate.
My thing is, this generation, especially early on when a lot of games did play at 60 frames a second, have spoiled a lot of people like myself that were playing 30 frames or lower on the previous gen, because you upgrade to the new console and you go, wow, this looks amazing. And then you go back to or games start getting degraded like Gotham Knights, or you go back to the older games on the older generation that haven't been upgraded and you go, what the hell? Why does this make me feel sick? Why is this playing so slowly? And Dan, you had this. We've spoken about this in the past. You were playing Destiny 2 on your PS4. It came to the PC. You upgraded your PC. You jumped over there. Then you came back to PS4 so we could do extra live stuff to go, this game is slow motion. I hate it. You know?
True story.
And I was there going, Dan, you spoiled git. And then I get to 60 frames a second or 120 frames a second and go, I totally get it.
Good point.
But yes, we'll talk more about frame rates in a second. Yeah. The big takeaway is this game is coming out on the 30th of August, 4 months away, just under. And it's set in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. We know that you're put in the shoes of a scoundrel named Kves, as we've seen previously. And this is all about kind of escaping a mob boss and being in the Outer Rim and wanting your freedom. And it's just all these different factions that you're going to see, that crime lords and crime bosses and mobs and things that are trying to operate under the Empire, around the Empire, and sort of just make their way to the top. And that includes the return, you may have remembered it from Solo, a Han Solo, a Star Wars story, the Crimson Dawn. Which allegedly will return. Is it Emilia Clarke? What's her name from Game of Thrones?
Emilia Clarke.
Right.
Emilia Clarke. Yeah. She will be returning. Well, she will be returning, but her character will be returning as she is the leader of the Crimson Dawn in this universe.
Cool character. Crimson Dawn originally set up by Darth Maul as well, but yeah.
Mm. Yes, that's correct. From
And the Uncanny Valley version of Emilia Clarke will probably be able to act slightly better.
I believe that's available in Telltale's Game of Thrones and also other Game of Thrones games that no one knows about.
Yep.
There was one on the PS3, I think.
But as soon as Ubisoft do something right in putting out this trailer that looked really cool, they have to do something wrong to go alongside with it. So they announced the collector's editions alongside this as well. And my word, are they overpriced?
So the regular version of the game is £70 RRP. Well, £69.99, but we'll say 70 for the sake of Dan's sanity.
Thank you.
Once again, buy AAA games physically and get them elsewhere so you can get them cheaper. Game collection, baby. There is a more I can't remember what the middle price is, but the more expensive one is
£94
and £109.99, £110. And this will get you access to the season pass, which will include new DLC sometime in the future.
Can I
this
just
is very Avatar.
Why the hell does this game have a season pass, for the love of God?
This is the argument going at the
Ubisoft.
Moment. Why does a single player game have a season pass? And also, if you get the more expensive version of the games, you can play the game early.
3 days early. Woo!
3 days early to... Right. 3 days early is not a beta.
No.
Single player game is not a beta.
No. Nope.
These are words that are being mixed up. This is like... Yeah, this is... That really infuriates me. But yes, I've gone for the base game. I've gone as cheap as I absolutely can, and I might cancel it.
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout.
But the thing I'll be annoyed about, because they showed Jabba the Hutt, and they've mentioned the Hutts, and they showed Jabba the Hutt in the trailer, and they've mentioned the Hutts generally.
And you can't play as him in a Bayonetta
style. But they talk about...
He has got amazing breast physics.
They talk about one of the advantages of the premium versions.
The jiggling slug.
Being that there is a Jabba the Hutt exclusive mission that you get to play on day one.
Right.
And I don't know if the stuff they've showed in the trailer is separate to that, and that's just that one mission you do for him separately. But if the whole Jabba the Hutt thing is behind a paywall, I think that is BS. Like, I'm not happy with that if that's the case, basically. Like, I don't know that is the case. So we'll wait to, you know, reserve judgment until that's the case. But, yeah. Saying up front that if that is the case, I'm not happy. This deal is getting worse all the time.
Do you remember the Force Unleashed, Tim?
Yes.
That also had a Jabba's Palace mission that was entirely behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was EA.
Yeah.
So,
no surprise.
I have a question, right? This is Star Wars. It's in the Star Wars. It's the Star Wars franchise. Very big entertainment franchise. So we've already established that Skull and Bones is an AAAA game. How many A's is this, do we reckon?
This is still a quadruple A, I think.
Still a quadruple A.
Did you see the
As
CD
long as
Projekt
one of those A's stands for A-hole, then yes.
Was it the quintuple A for...
yes.
Yeah.
As I, guys, remember CD Projekt's release? In fact, remember The Witcher 3's release. Maybe don't start bragging about how many A's you've got in your title at the moment.
Yeah.
In all fairness, you can't pronounce it.
Unless
Witcher.
It stands for ass.
What? Yeah. While we're talking about Skull and Bones, though, I found out something interesting this week.
David Century.
Second Wind, which is doing some very good like extra content on top of their fully Ramblematic, which is the stuff that's generally kind of a bit more fun. But they're doing a lot more good content that's kind of digging into kind of more serious subjects. One of the things they looked at was Skull and Bones. I did not realize this, but Skull and Bones was a real long con. Like, this is kind of the information that they kind of unearthed or at least brought to my attention. Like, they literally got like a couple of hundred million part of the budget was given to them, or the couple of hundred million budget was given to them by the Singapore government on the understanding that they made jobs in Singapore and that a game released at some point in time. There was no specified time period. So the whole like long development cycle of Skull and Bones was to justify the money that they took at a time when they were really struggling for money and that they took from the Singaporean government. So yeah, there's some real dodgy stuff going on there with Ubisoft, I think. Like, that was not
Tim,
good, basically.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to blow your mind.
Right.
I knew this stuff like as the game launched.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a full breakdown.
I was unaware.
Of this. And it was literally the man called the man named Rick. As I was just going downstairs, he went, "Hey, did you hear about this stuff from the Chinese government?" Because I went, "Hey, do you want to play Sea of Thieves?" He's like, "Flip, no." But anyway, did you hear about China? Anyway, one last thing, and we've got to talk about it because it's making me laugh.
Right.
So. Hellblade 2, Senua's Sacrifice, is it? Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2.
Mm-hmm.
The game that they used to advertise, to announce the Xbox Series X, that still has yet to come out.
Super sexy drive in tow.
Yes.
is coming out soon. Graphics.
Exclusive to the world's most powerful console.
Okay, strap me in. How many frames a second am I looking at?
30 frames a second, locked. What? For Xbox Series S and X, and the director has come out to say the reason is for the VFX director has come and say the reason that it's locked to 30 frames a second is to give it that cinematic style, because as we know,
I have a question.
27.98 frames a second for cinema, so that would make sense.
I was going to say, why is he messing about with that equal? Why is he mucking about that extra 2.02 frames? Clearly, those are surplus requirements. He needs to get his act together and actually properly optimize the game. Surely, if he wants for that cinematic look, no.
Anyway, the game's 60 frames a second on PC. No more questions.
All right. Okay, good.
There was
right.
one other piece of information which I was sad to hear, though, and I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, but it came out in the subsequent information that came out about this. The director who I'm not sure if he was the head of Ninja Theory, but he was definitely the director on a lot of their big projects. And I'd interviewed him before, and he's a very nice guy, but Tamim Antonides. But yeah, he's the director. He's apparently moved on from the studio, and they didn't really release that information until recently. And yeah, sad to see, because he's overseen a lot of their really big games in recent times. And
didn't that come from, because wasn't it like a studio tour? And it was like, hey, where's the guy who runs this place? Where's he gone? He's gone.
Where's
out
the face
for lunch.
That runs the place?
Yeah.
Exactly. He went out for lunch 4 weeks ago. We haven't seen
him. He's just in a meeting. He'll be back in a minute. I know that old chestnut.
Yep.
You just missed him. He's in the toilet.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. But yes, I just found that funny in that kind of, not the him leaving quietly. This age of PR spin. It's like, oh, we've locked this on the consoles because of cinematic style. No, it can't play it. It can't play it.
It can't do the thing.
Don't BS us if you know that you're immediately found. It's the flipping. They did this with Gotham Knights. Oh, we have to lock it at 30 frames a second so we can give seamless.
There's a Robin.
Seamless multiplayer. Also, PC can play it at 60 frames a second. Useless. Useless.
Rubbish. Rubbish.
Can't wait for these mid-generation consoles that are going to be stupidly expensive and not give us very much in way of return of power.
Wow. You have to have performance.
Are you all cynical? Welcome
I'm 40, Dan. I'm cynical now.
Exactly. Welcome to 40.
You're our side of the
hill. I've got grey in my beard and I've got grit in my brain.
Welcome to the grumpy side of the hill, Coleman.
Yep, it's wonderful.
Welcome to BRB Grumpy Cast. We're all 40s.
Yep. All right, shall we finish this sorry excuse for a show up? We probably should.
Let's please.
Indeed. So, a couple of items of AOB for you, ladies and gents. First of which is you need to go and buy my face. Buy my face. Buy my face. tpublic.com/doors/BRB. That's tpublic.com/doors/BRB. You can buy many things with my face on it and also some other stuff that Tim lovingly designed. But most importantly, things with my face on it. Thank you. Oh, and Bleezy's stuff. Bleezy's stuff is particularly excellent.
Yes.
Also has my face in it.
Mm. Nice. You can buy stuff without Dan's face as well, though.
Bleezy's having a very busy year this year. I don't know if you guys follow him on social media. Like stuff he's trying to get done before. I think he's doing like one of those let's get a bunch of stuff done before I hit 30 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Didn't he already have that birthday though? Am I wrong?
Maybe it's something else then. I don't know. He did a load of stuff before then.
He just caught the bug and carried on doing interesting things.
Maybe. He's an interesting guy, that Bleezy. We should get him on the show again. It's been a while.
Oh, Bleezy.
Been a while.
Oh, Bleezy. Oh, and we should call him Bleezy. Josh, because he doesn't like being called Bleezy. Anyway, sorry, tpublic.com/store/BRB. Go there, pick up Dan's face and also other things.
Yep.
Interesting things. Not say Dan's face isn't interesting, but we have other things that aren't Dan's face. I can't find the Dan's a fantastic
lies.
Man drop.
All
Where is it?
Lies.
Dan's a fantastic face. Man.
There you go.
Tim, Tuesday's a Tuesday. Tell us about Tuesday.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday. And this coming Tuesday, we do, as each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. Each Tuesday, we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. And if you play that game, you have a chance of winning a game, a copy of the game at the
what
end of the
savings.
Evening.
What a
savings. Sorry, all the
I
savings.
Accidentally hit a button.
Accidentally hit Alan Rickman.
The ghost of Alan Rickman's come. He's here. What was that? Alan?
I didn't know it. Sorry, I didn't know I had hotkeys activated for the soundboard. So
don't tickle Alan again.
Bye, grab bars.
This week's game is an excellent looking game called Ancient Knowledge. It looks quite good fun. It's about kind of preserving knowledge and passing it down to future generations from knowledge that you've accumulated before. But you've got to kind of build artifacts and monuments. And yeah, it looks like good fun one. Should be a good one. It's a good looking game. And you could win a copy just by playing it this Tuesday. You can find out more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com. Or you can search for Tabletop Tuesdays on meetup.com and join the over, I think, 2,130 people we now have in our meetup group. Or you could just come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington on a Tuesday, just like John of previous alumni
Who?
Of podcast
what?
Fame. Never John Brady was there last week,
oh,
so
hey.
It was nice to see him. But yes. And other people too. It wasn't just John.
I was waiting for Dan to start. It's John wears a skirt.
I thought he was going to go into Scottishness and talk about wearing a skirt.
I thought I'd give the casual stereotyping a rest for a week. There we go.
I think you want to, Dan. I think you want to shortly just do a John impression. No, I think you do.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Win it. No casual racism.
Okay.
And you're not playing Destiny 2. What have you done with the real Dan?
Yep. What a gold day.
That's better.
And run through share. There was a wee little breeze that went up my kilt leg. It made me knackers retreat into me abdomen. And it is about that I wrote a book. And you should buy my book. John Brady.
This drums.
Out.
Skull and the Brave is a banger.
It is.
It is. Well, this has been a fun 40th. Right. If you've enjoyed the show, you're a weirdo, but we love you all the same. Thank you very much for listening or watching if you're following us on YouTube. You can go to bigredbarrel.com. There we have a website. A website that holds content from bigredbarrel.com, including this here podcast. Over there, we've got a link to our Discord. We have on social media, Facebook and X and Threads at Big Red Barrel. We also have a YouTube called Big Red Barrel TV. If you go there, subscribe, like, do all the kind of things that you're meant to do on those platforms.
Ring the bell.
The bell. Ring-a-ling. Sorry. Ring-a-ling. That's the better. Ding-a-ling. And then you will get notified when our videos go up. And when we start doing these live streams publicly, you'll get notified of when those are going live as well. So that would be nice for you, wouldn't it? Lovely. Anyway. Yes, do all those things and ask us questions, ask us, give us comments, give us feedback on the show. A lot of the things that have changed on the show over the years are usually because someone's commented and asked us to add chapters to the show, live stream, do
get rid of Brady.
Video versions of the podcast.
Does that mean if someone asks us to stop, we can stop? Is that how this works?
We can finally die.
Can rest easy. Hang up the
I'll finally
hang
pull
up
the trigger
up
with my toe.
Hang up the musty cod piece of podcasting
with
and pass
gun
it on to the next generation.
In my mouth. Sorry,
I'm really glad that my anonymous request to get rid of Brady finally worked, though. That was great.
I remember when I was Scottish.
And you had a lot more hair.
That's
back
not
then
how
as
this
well.
Works. I mean, he had a lot more hair when he joined the podcast, to be fair.
I think we all did.
I remember pitching this to a mutual friend behind the scenes of I really wanted to get Brady to, because Brady kind of abruptly left and then I took over. And I really wanted to do a thing behind the scenes where me and Brady coordinate and then he comes back, acts like nothing happens, and then we get a Dalek to kill him. And then he regenerates into me. And I remember pitching this and someone went, wow, that's a really bad regeneration. It's more of a degradation.
Wow.
Dan's the doctor here. So that wouldn't work.
Yeah, get off my land.
Mm-hmm.
Get off my land.
Get off my land.
That's the best Doctor Who impression ever, Dan. Well done.
What? Get off my land.
Hello, I'm Doctor Who.
We've had a West Country Doctor, have we? Hello.
Get off of my land.
I'm Doctor Who. How do? Well, to Latourdes.
This is bigger on the inside of that.
Yeah, look at that. All that timey-wimey b****s in it. All right, Dad Ross. How's it going? How's your father? All right.
I've got a brand new personality.
I've got a brand new what? No, I won't get us a content strike. It's all good.
Wurzels.
Yeah. That's not how you spell Wurzels.
I don't
care.
To
the soundboard. Oh, we need more Wurzels.
Adding more Wurzels to soundboard.
Yeah.
Or just all right, shall we go?
Not spelling it right, but yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go.
All right. How's your father? All right.
All righter.
Thanks. I've now got the songs of popular beat combo Reef going through my head. Thanks for that, Coleman.
A bit on Grindr.
We're going to go now. This is getting worse. Thank you for listening. Before we disappear, there's only one thing for us to do, and that is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Jim.
Lies.
Oh, baby, I've been 40.
Yeah, you have. Make sure to slide in to the Discord chat when you listen to this. Wish Coleman a happy 40th. Uh-huh, and we will be back next week, where Coleman shall be aged 40 and 1 week. Will the excitement ever start? No, it won't. That's it. You're right. Come back next week for the next really thrilling installment of Coleman gets increasingly more middle-aged and I lose the ability to speak.
I will actually get older by a week each show.
What? Yep,
that's the way time works.
Well, because my birthday was on the same day the podcast, so I'll get older by a week each show.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. So,
as the French say, we surrender.
Wow. We're going to go. Thank you for downloading us. And until next time, dear listeners, doodle bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.